Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, welcome to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. It's that time again for another one. And I'm feeling very excited today because I've got a bit of a celebrity on the podcast. Jason R. Levine, also known as Fluency MC, is something of a legend in the world of online English language teaching. He's become pretty well known on YouTube, in particular for his videos in which he uses hip-hop to bring a fresh approach to teaching English. Jason raps his English lessons, and many of those raps have become YouTube sensations. For example, Stick Stuck Stuck, I think is what it's called, the past participle rap, which has over 2.5 million views on YouTube, and the Present Perfect rap, which is a full-on explanation of the grammar rules for the present perfect tense, delivered in rhyme. But Jason is not only a teacher who raps. A look at Jason's CV shows that he is involved in a number of very interesting English teaching projects. He leads workshops, he has published material, and is an English specialist for the US Department of State, which makes him sound a bit like a government agent, really. And he has a very interesting academic and personal background, which has led him to take this fresh new approach to language teaching. On the musical side, Jason raps, but he also plays the drums like me, and he DJs and produces his own tunes. There's so much to ask him and so much to talk about, and hopefully Jason will do some rapping on Luke's English Podcast too. And who knows, I might even get involved in that as well. You can look forward to all of this in this episode of the podcast. Now, I've never met Jason before. This is actually the first time I've spoken to him. And I always thought that Jason lived in New York, but a while ago I was on Facebook and I saw a photo of him in Paris, and I assumed he'd visited for work or for a holiday. So I sent him a message saying, next time you're in Paris, how about an interview for Luke's English Podcast? And he wrote back saying, actually, I live in Paris. So needless to say, I was pretty surprised. What are the chances of that, I thought. So naturally, I thought I'd take the opportunity to hook up with him and interview him for the podcast. And he's sitting right next to me now. So let's get started. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Luke. How's it going?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
Great. As I said, I'm sort of amazed in a way, because for me, you're a bit of a, as I said, you're a bit of an internet sort of celebrity in the world of English language teaching.
Well, I guess, like you mentioned, Stick Stuck Stuck. I mean, if it weren't for that video, I'm not sure how much of a celebrity I'd be. But thankfully, that video has been very popular. And as a result, other videos I've made and other materials have not gotten quite that popular, but have gotten out there and reached a lot of teachers and students.
I want to know the whole story, but there aren't that many. I mean, there are more and more now, but there aren't that many sort of online English language teachers who have sort of made a name for themselves like you. I mean, you've got you and a few others, really.
Well, the most exciting thing for me these days is I'm working with some of those others. Yeah. And several of them were mentors for me. For example, Jennifer Lebed of English with Jennifer, mm-hmm. Rachel from Rachel's English, yeah. and others. So, you know, that's exciting. Mike Marzio of Real English, who's also in France, south of France. Yeah, yeah. So that's really been in the last couple of years a really wonderful thing about the work I'm doing, because with online teaching with WizIQ, I've been able to work with other teachers who are also interested in getting in the online classrooms.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so you're living in Paris then, and I thought you lived in Brooklyn or something.
We lived in Brooklyn. My wife, who's Parisian, so yeah. She's from here. We met in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
16-17 years ago, and after we got married, stayed in New York. We thought about coming here, but didn't, and had two kids and raised them there. But recently we decided we wanted to try out living in Paris, yeah. And it's been fantastic, yeah. Experience.
How are you finding the French lifestyle?
Well, compared to things in America, as far as sort of everyday lifestyle differences, I feel much more comfortable here.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm not a big, like, get into the SUV and drive on the highway to work person.
No, you know?
So I'm not a mall shopper.
No.
So yeah. I feel a little more normal.
Right.
Over here.
Have you done lots of traveling in your life?
You know, very little outside of the States up until I got the position as the English specialist, actually. Yeah. I mean, I had been a few places, but as far as, you know, really visiting parts of the world outside of, you know, Europe and the States, that's really been a recent thing.
Yeah.
In the States, though, growing up, all our vacations were, you know, to a different state.
Right.
Get in the car and yeah. drive. So I do know the States very well. Yeah.
There's a lot of variety, of course, in the US. But it's nice to have you here in Europe.
Yeah, just meeting you and meeting a lot of others that are done such great work in this part of the world has been been amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so are you on Team Europe now? Is that
well? You know, the thing about online teaching and learning is, you know, because I travel and I've been doing workshops, especially this tour we're doing with Gallery Languages, Rhyme on Time. But otherwise, I work, you know, from anywhere, phone, computer, and spend time with people from all over the world at all times of day and night. Mm-hmm. So I don't really feel like there's one team anymore, which is so great because, you know, once you, at least for me, once you get the feeling that you're kind of from everywhere and with everyone and teaching everyone and learning from everyone, you don't want to go back.
Yeah.
To anything else feels a little restricted, isolated.
It's totally global.
Yeah.
So you're a global citizen rather than sort of American or European, exactly. So I was going to say that, I mentioned that you're a sort of living legend of English language teaching online.
Wow.
Are you famous, Jason?
Well, I guess it depends.
Do you feel famous?
You know what feels really good is when doing these workshops with Gallery Languages, Rhyme on Time, going to different countries and having kids come up and sometimes have a picture of you or they want an autograph. Yeah. The last tour in Italy, I was at a school and they had to go back to class. They had to take them back to class, but the kids wanted me to give them my autograph. And the teachers were, you know, hustling them out of the room, and then a few of them snuck back like 20 minutes later. I don't know if they went to the bathroom or whatever and came back to find me and stuff. So yes, that, moments like that, yeah. And what's so cool about that is you know, to be a you know, talk about someone who's in the media, like a singer or an actor who has an influence, you know, but and tries to do something, you know, quote good or to teach, but you know, when you're a teacher in the first place,
yeah.
And that's what it is that the kids are, you know, so into.
Right.
It's incredible, and I see it happening for many others. It's just the beginning, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
With teachers going into the media, it's a new thing.
Think it's going to get bigger then, Jason?
Absolutely, because I think it's really, you know, we talk a lot about technology. I'm not into tech per se, but what's so why I'm so involved in it and such a big believer in it is the access. You know, teachers now have for students, and students now have for teachers. Mm. And then, when you're in the media, whether you're, you know, an athlete, a singer, an actor, and now a teacher, if people like you and they get comfortable with you and they trust you, and in this case, they're learning from you, then you're developing a relationship that's intense. And people say, "Well, in the physical classroom, isn't it more, you know, intimate, the rapport?" But when you think about the relationships we develop through media, you know, the people we admire, we respect, you know, like I've never seen the Rolling Stones live, but you can't tell me I don't have a connection to them.
Oh yeah, you do.
You know, and that's just through seeing them and not even seeing them as much, just listening to a CD or a record.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
So when you consider, you know, how the emotional connections we have with teachers in the first place, they're deeper than with an actor or a singer.
Yes.
So when you combine that with the media.
Right.
So it's yeah, I think yeah. So sometimes I think, you know, people misinterpret what's going on when what I'm doing is, oh well, you're a rapper, you're a performer, so that's why. And I don't think so. I think maybe that's why I've been lucky to get in it earlier. But what I see is anyone with charisma, passion, great teaching skills, that those those characteristics, they're not limited to the physical classroom. You can do it in video. You can do it online. Mm. So I see it happening for any teacher who's, you know, really going for it.
That's great. That's very promising. So let's see. Let's go back to. I want to know about your story, basically, Jace. I want to hear about sort of like where you're from and what you've studied at university. Are you from New York originally?
No, I'm from. I was born in Boston and lived there till I was 8 years old. Then my family, my parents, their jobs changed. We moved to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much feel like I grew up in St. Louis, like my hometown is St. Louis. Yeah. But then I went to college in New York State. And from that point on, with a few like minor like digressions, living in different places, I was on the East Coast.
Right.
So yeah, coming here to live in Paris is really the first time I've lived somewhere besides the East Coast since I was a little kid.
Yeah. Okay. Do you mind me asking how long were you in? How old were you when you went to New York then?
When I went to college, so I was 18.
Yeah.
And that was about an hour outside of New York City.
Good time.
And then, really good time.
When was that, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't mind at all. In fact, I saw on Facebook that, and I can't figure out how to get rid of it. Not only is my birthday on there, which is fine, but the year I was born is on there. And no matter what I do, I can't get it off. So I figure it's meant to be. Everyone's meant to know how old I am. So that was 1988. I graduated high school and went to college. And then in 92, I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
And then there were, you know, a different. I moved around a little bit, but basically I was been in that area since we came to Paris.
Okay. Yeah. 1992 in New York, right? So that, if we talk about hip hop a little bit, that was like a big time for hip hop music.
I mean, the two greatest time, of course I'm biased, but I mean, not just me, people who look at hip hop historically.
I agree with you.
The two of the most incredible times were when I was in high school and when I was in college. So, you know, I went to high school 84, 85.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated 88 and then through 92. So that period of high school and college.
Who are some of your favorite hip hop artists?
Actually, I have a little rhyme. When people ask me who your favorite rapper is, I got tired of trying to remember.
Do you need a beat?
No, I don't need a beat for this. It's more of a spoken word thing.
All right.
And I'm not sure I'll remember all of it. I'll try. If not, we can stop and you can edit it out or something.
Okay. But I won't
do that? Okay. So Rakim and Nas, Kane, G-Rap and Comment, Method Man, Lupe and KRS-One, Pasta Noose, Redman, Big L and Jay-Z, Ghostface and Biggie, Slick Rick and Technique, Most Def, Busta Rhymes, Eminem and Cool Keith. There we go.
Brilliant.
That's 20.
Those are some of the top names from the 90s era of hip-hop. Yeah, nice stuff. We'll come back to the hip-hop music in a bit. What did you study at university in New York State University?
No, it was Vassar College. It's outside New York City, a little bit upstate. Right. And then I have an MA in TESOL from City University, Hunter College, I got much later.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You went back to college and did the TESOL qualification?
I did. My story is, I was in a PhD program that I quit. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
A lot of switching around and stuff.
The original degree, though, that you did?
Psychology, but focusing on education. So it's when I just later on did the master's, it was kind of returning to a lot of the interests I had in college far as research and practice.
Does psychology come into what we do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the reason, especially, you know, language acquisition and second language teaching and learning, you know, for me, the reason I fell in love with it, because that's not something I was doing in college with psychology and education. It wasn't the language learning side at all, because I recognized, I figured out that it was like this window into like learning and psychology. You know, and then bringing all the cultural stuff that I was also interested in, it was like, wow, you know, this is it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think perhaps you've thought about this a lot and you've talked about it before, but in the hip hop approach, there's also a sort of psychological approach behind the teaching method, isn't there?
Yeah, I love how you call it the hip hop approach. I've never heard it quite like that before. But
I think you should formalize it.
Yeah, I think I might.
In an academic paper, you could call it the hip hop approach. We've had like the grammar translation method, all of these different stages in English language teaching, and now finally.
Double HA, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess you could probably make that case for almost any approach, but I mean the thing about music, I mean, we all know how, you know, not just important and not just effective, but how vital music is to learning. So, you know, imagine growing up without learning language, especially through music, or if not through music, through, you know, poetry, which is sort of in the same, I mean, you know, so much of our first language is learned through rhyme. If we don't have rhyme in the culture, it's still learned through, you know, something that has sort of some cadence or some rhythm to it. I mean, you know, so it's very natural for me, since I was a hip hop DJ, you know, a very amateurish one, but still, to, you know, start using that in the classroom.
Just makes me think, actually, that there is a very old tradition of handing down information orally, and it's done through rhyme.
Sure.
I mean, not just in rap, but you know, in old English and old storytelling, an oral tradition of passing information down. Before it was written, it was put into the form of songs and rhymes and poems and stories.
Yeah,
and so it's, you know, it's probably part of that same tradition.
Sure, and pick up a book for, you know, a 4-year-old. 3-year-old, you know, or younger. The younger, the more likely there's going to be rhyme in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, it's something we just take for granted.
Rhyming actually is quite interesting from a psychological point of view, because it somehow, there's just something quite magical about rhyme. Mm. If you make a phrase rhyme, if you make a statement, if you say a statement and you make that statement rhyme, it's a lot more. There's just an edge of magic to it. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. It's the pattern. The brain loves patterns. And the reason it sticks, stuck, the reason I was inspired to write it that way, I wasn't the first person to organize, you know, the verbs by their spelling and phonological patterns. You could find that, though not as often as you'd think you would, given that that's a pattern that the brain, you know, can store. So, you know, bring, brought, you know, catch, caught.
Teach,
so I
talk,
did
talk.
Find, right. I did find a few people had done that.
Yeah.
So when I had the idea for the song, I looked to see, and I didn't see a song. What I saw was a couple people had, you know, let's get rid of this arbitrary alphabetical order thing, which is great for reference, but it's not a way we don't learn alphabetically.
Right.
That's not a pattern the brain recognizes. And let's put these into these groups. Mm. It amazed me that there wasn't some list like that everybody knew about.
Like a mnemonic list, rather than alphabetical list.
Yeah. And you see this everywhere. You see, you know, I know there's a geography song that people, usually a little bit older than me, almost everyone, they know it in the states, about like the 50 states, actually.
Right,
it's alphabetical. So it's like Alabama, Alaska. I don't know the song, but it's ludicrous. Why would you want to, you know, have Alabama and Alaska together in your brain?
Yeah.
You'd want to know where Alabama is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd want to, you know, remember them by, you know, something that's, you know, actually useful.
Your physical idea of like, I mean, people tend to remember when they match or connect things to already existing spaces or
top
already existing patterns.
Right, right.
So like, for example, the idea of, I've talked about it a little bit on my podcast, but the idea of the memory palace and all that sort of thing,
I like that stuff.
Mnemonics and memory techniques, and the idea that you can imagine in your mind like a space that you know very well, and you connect each thing you have to remember with a different part of that space.
It works.
And it works.
Yeah.
It really works. And the other thing is, like, you know, if you have to learn a list of words, then you create a little story in which they're all connected, and you make a connection between each one, and one thing leads to another, and that the end result is you remember a lot more. So I think probably your approach is obviously motivating because it's the hip hop, but also underneath it there is a mnemonic technique there, which actually allows people to remember. It sort of brings down the effective filter, you know, that sense of, you know, it makes people relaxed and it's new and it's refreshing.
Huge part of it.
And it's engaging. But also it's just like a memory
That's right. And the two go together, because if you're not interested and engaged, first of all, you're probably not going to do it, and you're not going to get enough of the multiple exposures to it that you're going to need. Because, you know, the piece of mnemonics that's really important, and rhyming is really the original mnemonic. It's like, a, you know, the most fundamental rhythm's another one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and but without repetition, it's not going to happen. So if you don't like the song or the poem or the scene from the movie, you're not going to repeat it, you know, if you're not interested. And if you're not interested, you're either going to be bored or stressed. Or both.
Yeah.
So they go together. You know, the effective filter has to be down. And it's, when it's down, and then you're getting those multiple exposures.
Right.
You know, and especially if they're delivered, you know, with some sort of way that helps the mind remember patterns, rhyming, rhythm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'd like to actually just maybe for my listeners who perhaps haven't seen your videos, I expect most of them have, but there may be some people who haven't seen
I
you
hope
in
not.
The
cl- I hope I get some new fans.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to imagine you in the classroom and you I think we'll talk about this now. I was going to come back to this later, but I think it's probably a good time to talk about it now. What's your like approach? How would you order? What's the sequence of events in a lesson in which you use a rap like that? I mean, what comes first? Then what do you do? So, like, you come into the classroom. Hello, good morning. My name's Jason. I'm your teacher. And then what happens?
Great question. I mean, first of all, I can't answer that question without first making it clear that I haven't been doing that with my material for a long time. And the reason is that I sort of put it out there for other teachers to do it with. So I give a lot of advice through email or Facebook about, you know, how they might go about using the song. What would they do before they use the song?
So
how would they supplement what they're doing in their textbook with the song? So these are things that I either did myself or actually I learned by watching other teachers use my materials.
Yeah, I see. So you provide some lesson plans basically for
I have a book. I mean, here's my little shameless plug called Rhyme on Time.
Yeah.
I'm going to have another book coming out, I hope, not too long from now, like a volume two.
Rhyme on Time.
Rhyme on Time. And that's where the tour name came from. So the book's actually been out for a while. I just have I have on my website, and people can preview it for free. Actually, print a sample lesson for free on the website.
Yeah.
But there, I have, you know, suggestions for sort of lesson plans, actually, and suggestions for activities and worksheets.
Awesome.
So yeah, I mean, I think you know, there's so many things you can do, you know, to warm up before a song. You can use the song itself as a warm up to something else. I mean, there are just so many different ways to use songs, and you know, almost anyone who's had at least a little experience in the language as a language teacher has used songs and experimented.
Yeah.
So I think I really like to go with what teachers already like to do or what their students seem familiar with and like to do. But I guess for me personally, you know, I developed these songs not so I could teach a whole lesson with a song, but you know, if we're already doing countable, uncountable nouns in the book, and I'm either, you know, not happy with the practice that's there or the input that's there, it's some stupid story that students don't like, you know, so, you know, it's this kind of thing. So, you know, the song is then input, you know, containing the collocations, whether it's countable, uncountable nouns or it's, you know, whatever we're doing, gerunds and infinitives, that, you know, is either to substitute for what's in, you know, in the book, not to deviate from the curriculum, on the contrary, but, you know, to supplement. I mean, that's what my stuff is all about. It's not, you know, you should throw out your method, you know, supplant what you have and use my my method. And, you know, most of the teachers I work with couldn't do that if they wanted to because they're working for ministries of education. Here's the book and it's what you do. So it's all about, you know, what could you do on top of that? But just to answer your question, I mean, I think what I like doing most is doing the song, asking students to kind of listen for certain things, but just kind of to enjoy it, do the song, and then give them the lyrics.
Yeah.
Do it again. And I have this in my book, but I don't think it's the best way, but just what
I've done. Just one of the ways.
Yeah. And then, because they just, what to me is really important is that they're really eager for the next thing. You know, they want to, you know, they want to see the lyrics. They want you to do it again. You know, so anything that, you know, enables that.
Right. Do you get the students to actually rap in class?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I never expect, you know, the Stick Stuck Stuck, that song, most people know that video more than they know any other videos that I've done. But, you know, that song is one part of a lesson and it's me doing the song. So I never expected when that, first of all, I never expected that video to get as popular as it did. But then what happens is I get contacted a lot about that. Well, it's just you doing it. Why don't you have the students doing this song? I can't believe this guy is just, you know, it's funny, you know, because, yeah.
I was just going to ask you, I bet you get like disgruntled teachers who assume that because only that video is online, that's all you do and that it's all teacher talking time and that the students aren't engaged and you're just showing off and all this sort of thing. I bet you get loads of criticism.
Yeah, which on one hand it's preposterous. On the other hand, I guess I understand because I'm sure I've had knee-jerk reactions to videos too where I sort of jump to those conclusions. But, you know, it's crazy. If you saw a video of students listening to something on a CD, would you say they're not talking? You'd probably assume that they're going to do some talking.
Yeah.
I assume people would understand that after that, the students would do...
Right,
you know, production.
Yeah,
so that
was
just an input part of it, and actually the students put the verbs up on the board too, not me. So there was that, and then I did the song, and then they were doing it with the lyrics and so forth. But yeah, it's sort of lost my train of thought. But
we were talking about. I just asked you whether you get lots of criticism because maybe teachers see your rap on the video and they think he's just rapping in front of students. Yes. This isn't proper teaching. But obviously, there's a lot more involved, and your raps and things are basically like supplements to a normal
to English other stuff we're doing.
Course.
That's right. And even if I were going to do, and when I have done it, you know, a lesson that's entirely based on the song, there's going to be all kinds of practice with you know, students taking the lyrics and maybe adding their own lyrics or you know, changing it around or you know, games to play with the vocabulary. Like any piece of input that you're using, whether it's a story or a TV show or whatever it is, it's no different.
I imagine that I'm just sort of trying to work out how you came up with this idea of like, you know, using bits of hip hop in class. I imagine that you'd, you know, teaching English maybe from a book in a classroom. And as you said, you just found that the stuff that was in the book was a bit dull. And you thought, how can I liven this up? And I know I'm into hip hop. I'm a DJ and I rap outside of school. Maybe I can bring that into class and that's going to somehow bring this class to life a little bit more.
That's basically what happened. There's a little more to it. I was, you know, really into the lexical approach, the whole idea of teaching through collocations.
Right.
And, you know, I was convinced that, you know, taking, you know, communicative language teaching, you know, what are the students' needs, the functions they need to learn, and then having it not based on grammatical syllabus, but on collocation, you know, vocabulary based within those functions. What are the chunks they need? The collocations they need.
Like you mean, like just for introducing yourself, or like, you know, getting certain things done in English. What are the commonly occurring bits of language that you
exactly
need?
Exactly. Yeah. So that was fine, but with students, the students were still not you know, producing. Yeah. Chunks automatically, fluently or accurately. I had a student named Ji-Yun Lee. I talk about her a lot because she was literally the inspiration for that song, which was the Six Stuck Stuck, which is the first song I've written. Yeah. And I have close to 200 songs now that I've written for English language teaching.
Yeah.
About half of them are for Oxford University Press. And the other half I've either put out or I haven't put out yet. But Six Stuck Stuck was the first because Ji-Yun Lee had been in the States for 5 or 6 years and was still producing sentences like, you know, yesterday I go a movie.
Right.
And she wasn't producing it fluently either. She wasn't like, oh, yesterday I go a movie. Like she couldn't hear her mistakes. Yeah. She was also yesterday, like thinking too much, monitoring, plus inaccurate use of grammar and vocabulary. And, you know, in the States, you know, not in Korea. Yeah. And that's because she wasn't getting enough exposure to the language. And part of that was she was, you know, going to Korean post office in New Jersey, you know, on the internet in Korean.
Yeah.
But the main reason was she was not confident enough to go to the bank and do it in English, which she could have.
Yeah.
Go on the internet. So, you know, in English. And teachers are always saying, and I was guilty of this too, just go out and speak English. Go out and speak English, which is crazy. You know, they're obviously, you know, it's not telling people to go speak.
Yeah.
What are we doing wrong in the classroom?
So it's not just a question of telling her to go off you go and speak, go on. You realize, no, I need to do something in class to help her speak.
Well, whether class or outside of class, she needs to get more exposure to English.
Yeah.
And it needs to be, you know, comprehensible input She needs to be motivated because she doesn't understand enough. If she doesn't understand enough, then she's going to, you know, her confidence is going to go down. If her confidence goes down, then, you know, she's not going to be motivated to go and learn. You know, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
You know, it's that intermediate plateau, you know, that you get stuck on. She needs more input. And part of the problem with communicative language theory is we're sitting in the class pushing her to produce, talk about yourself. Yeah. And we're not giving them enough of the input of the vocabulary and grammar, expecting them to produce.
Right.
So, you know, what I found, I was an academic director at that time, and I was observing the teachers. And I found that, you know, if you ask Ji-Yun, do you like your classes? Oh, I love them. Why? Oh, because I can express my opinions. We talk. I'm meeting people from different countries. She loved it. Mm. You know, in Korea, we don't have this. On the other hand, she wasn't really... She wasn't getting enough exposure to the target language. She wasn't repeating it because we were so afraid of the audiolingual method.
It wasn't sort of I know what you mean. Yeah, the audiolingual method being that just sort of listen and repeat, lots of repetition, lots of drilling and stuff like that.
Right. But as I say a lot, we threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
With CLT, communicative language theory, because we're saying, look, you know, this repetition, it's, you know, it's these meaningless drills. Yeah, but repetition doesn't have to be meaningless.
Yeah.
So when you're listening to a song 10 times because you like it, you don't feel like that's meaningless.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all about what you're repeating, not, you know, the fact that you shouldn't repeat something.
Let me just go back to that phrase that you just used. We threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
Now, let's just have a little look at that phrase and then just consider how you just used it in the context of this story.
Sure.
So what does the phrase mean, first of all?
So if you think about giving a baby a bath, when you're done, you've got the dirty water.
Yeah.
So you throw the dirty water out. You don't want to throw the baby out. So you don't want it's actually it translates to a very simple phrase, which is you don't want to throw the good out with the bat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And
in the context of this story, we're talking about communicative language teaching, which is all about engaging students in genuine communicative situations.
Which is great.
And it was a sort of, was it a response to the audiolingual approach?
Very much. But early on, it wasn't so much, you know, I learned in CELTA, and I think still today, to be fair, but less than I think there should be, we learned about, you know, the good types of drilling and the importance of meeting the language many times to be able to retain it. But still, you know, there's, you know, too many teachers, and I put myself in this category until pretty far along in my career of, you know, not doing enough, giving the students enough exposure. And it's not just in the classroom, but the thing is, if you inspire it through the classroom, then they're going to go out and repeat songs in English and repeat TV shows in English. And that's where, because the classroom, there's not enough time to get that kind of exposure no matter what.
Right.
So it's more about how we can make students, you know, more confident to get out there and get that exposure.
Yeah. Okay. When communicative language teaching sort of became the norm as a sort of movement away from the mechanical approach of just drilling with the audiolingual approach method. Everyone started focusing on these real sort of communicative situations, getting your students to express themselves, lots of student talking time, but the moment where we threw the baby out with the bathwater is where we lost something that was good about the repetition and the drilling and the exposure that you get with the audiolingual approach.
Right.
So you managed to bring it back in, but you did it through rap.
Yeah, and I see other people doing it through drama, through poetry, through watching the same video clip over and over again. You know, what it comes down to is if the students and kids do that naturally, read the same book 17 times.
Yeah.
I want to hear the same song again. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. It's instinctive because that's the only way you learn language, period. Adults, it's like, oh, I read this article, I'm done. I know it, so I'm done. And that might work for, you know, a theorem or something in physics.
Yeah.
Even there, you need repetition, but not the same way you need grammar structures and vocabulary. They have to be repeated. So if you understand it, and this is, you know, paradoxically what's bad about analytical thinking and getting to a critical thinking level is you start analyzing thinking about the language so much that you're not acquiring it. You're trying to learn it, and then you think, oh, I'm done. And you didn't get exposure to those phrasal verbs enough, so it's impossible that you're going to produce them in a role play the way the teacher wants you to, or out in real life.
So it's not just a a question of like analyzing the language using your critical thinking, but it's a question of simply just sort of like having the language go through your mind and go through your through your mouth lots and lots and lots of times until the point where it just becomes natural. It's a bit like going to the gym or learning to play tennis.
It's exactly like
if you're learning,
I talk about that all the time.
If you're learning to play tennis, you just need to practice that forehand.
That's it.
Again and again and again until it just comes naturally to you.
Right. And when you look at people like Crash and the Natural Approach and Asher and TPR, I mean, nothing we're talking about is anything I came up with. So I will tell you now what I did come up with a little bit, because it goes back to your original question. So I'm sitting there, you know, totally into, you know, Crash and Natural Approach with the effective filter and the engagement and the comprehensible input, and then the lexical approach with everything with collocations. Mm. Where I felt I got, you know, where I was disappointed, where I felt I sort of got let down with the lexical approach was that they said, you know, you've got to have a lot of exposure to collocations. And I agree. What do I do?
How can I give my students?
And they said, well, here are these great worksheets.
Right.
You know, so the stuff that Lexical Approach and the LTP was the publisher, they had their own publishing company at the time. They had great, you know, make and do worksheets, you know, take, put, you know, delexicalized verbs, great stuff, adjective plus prepositions, you know, all this great stuff. But as good as a make and do worksheet is, are you going to do it 10 times?
Yeah.
So the students love it because collocations, the way we feel about collocations is the way a collocation works, just this click. It's like, that's it. That's how, you know, because that's how we learn our first languages too.
You just learn that these words go together and that's it. They're a partnership. And
Ask a 7-year-old what take means.
Yeah.
And they can't explain what a delexicalized verb is, but because they learn it through collocations. Take my hand, take a shower, you know, that's how it works.
Let's just briefly look at what the lexical approach is.
Sure.
Because some of my listeners, as learners of English, they might not be familiar with the idea. So I think the lexical approach basically says that language, rather than like English in particular, rather than being a grammatical language exactly, it's more about vocabulary, and it's a way of looking at the language from the point of view of vocabulary rather than looking at it as a system of, you know, grammatical rules. So, for example, we tend to structure our sentences with chunks of vocabulary, like bits of vocab that commonly go together to create little chunks. And these are called collocations, you know, like take a shower or have a shower, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, your website is called colloandspark.com, isn't it?
Yes.
Colloandspark.com. And Collo and Spark is like one of the little sort of catchphrases you have, or one, the name of your approach, or something like that. So this relates to the lexical approach, doesn't it? Collo being short.
Directly.
Collo is short for collocation.
Right.
What about Spark?
Spark is, are you ready? Super-powered automatic recall of knowledge.
Whoa. That sounds
Spark
brilliant.
Is being able to, you know, quickly use irregular verbs accurately.
Yeah.
You know, Spark is the automaticity. You know, and it comes from, in most cases, not studying and analyzing, but from exposure when you're interested, engaged, and relaxed.
Right.
So I'm going to connect this directly to a story I have to make sure I tell you, which is I'm struggling here trying to figure out how to get my students this input. And I didn't think music and rap. I had an epiphany one day, true story, I was teaching and I don't remember exactly what I was saying, but something where I said, you know, I always, and a student, a Korean student, intermediate level, low intermediate, and a student that didn't usually say things, especially not burst, you know, like that.
Yeah.
She said, Coca-Cola.
Whoa.
And I didn't understand what happened. And the students are laughing. And then it hit me. At the time, the slogan for Coca-Cola was always Coca-Cola.
Right.
So she'd made a collocation.
Yeah.
And she felt really happy about it and excited because it was automatic.
It's very high frequency.
There you go. That's when I realized how high frequency it needed to be.
Yeah.
And how relaxed the people needed to be, because that's what commercials do.
Yeah.
So she's on the bus, always Coca-Cola. She's looking at a billboard, always Coca-Cola.
She must have seen it hundreds of times.
But she didn't study it. She didn't try to remember it. Mm. But it's the same as how we don't try to remember lullabies our grandmother sings us. I have to study this. You know, it's the repetition when you relax, not thinking about it.
I never tried to remember the whole script from Star Wars.
There you go.
I just remembered it because I watched it so many times when I was a kid.
And if you'd studied it and really tried to pack it all in for a test, you probably would have gotten an A, and then today you'd remember none of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So instead, I carry it with me for the rest of my life, Jason.
Now, how useful is it? This is where it comes down to. Always, Coca-Cola is not a highly functional. It's not one of the collocations that this student could really use.
It doesn't have high surrender value.
How about always be there, always on time? Yeah. This student didn't have those collos. Yeah. This student had always Coca-Cola.
Right.
So I started looking at other ones. Just do it.
Yeah.
I said just. My students said do it. Mm-hmm. I said Kentucky.
Fried chicken.
They didn't say Frankfurt, which is the capital, or Louisville. Oh, those are also collocations.
Yeah.
They said fried chicken. So yeah, it's about the frequency and it's about the fact that they didn't study it. Mm. You know, I call it learning when you're not looking.
Right.
You know, that's the whole crashing thing, the whole idea of acquiring, not learning, you know, subconscious acquisition.
That's actually when, that's actually when the brain is at its most suggestive.
Absolutely.
And this works in hypnosis as well.
Exactly.
And in subliminal advertising.
And
magicians use it too.
Yep.
They distract your attention with something and then out the corner of your, when you're not looking, they're actually doing lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, suggestive hypnosis or you know, you see these shows where people make people do other things.
There are
ways of like feeding in suggestions to influence someone's behavior. I mean, there's a guy who I really respect called Derren Brown. He's a magician and illusionist and mentalist and all this stuff, and he has these amazing tricks where he manages to it looks like he's reading someone's mind, but in fact what he's doing is he's feeding in the information as a suggestion, and they're producing it. They think that they've come up with it themselves, but he's actually influenced them, and then he's written it down on a piece of paper. And he's not reading their mind; he's just making them say this thing. And the way he does it is he finds little ways of sneaking stuff in subliminally while they're not looking. Basically, so learning
really
while you're
like
not looking.
This. Well, think about what I think a teacher in a communicative language classroom wants to have happen is you do a role play, for example. And then that student's going to go out and automatically do that role, you know, be at a store and right, be able to do that.
Yeah.
The problem, of course, is that without enough kind of repetition and learning when you're not looking, it's not going to be stored there. They're not going to have that. And it's not fair to them. It's not fair to us to expect them to understand what they did and then be able to, to do it.
Yeah. So this sort of revelation that you had of learning without looking and these collocations, how did that then lead you to start rhyming in the classroom?
Before I started rhyming, I started making card games. Because what I thought about was what I can't, you know, I don't have a budget to do corporate advertising like Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, and I can't expect my students to like, I can't put that, you know, wallpaper their room with the collocations they need or something.
Or like pay for billboards to be put up all around town.
Although I thought about some kind of crazy things like the wallpapering their room thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, how are they going to get the multiple exposures, enough of the repetition? It has to be something, because these are adults. You know, kids, again, kids want to read a book 17 times.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to do the worksheet 17 times, we'd have no problem.
Right.
So what are they going to want to do 17 times? Not because I told them to, not because they think they have to do it.
Mm.
You know, we know that doesn't work with motivation. Card games.
Right.
When you like a card game, you will play it again. So it's a little bit of the addictive component is important too.
Right.
You know, so if I made card games with called collo cards, and I don't sell them anymore in the future, I hope to bring them back.
Yeah.
I've got so many of them. But you know, I've Jaren and Infinitive cards.
Right.
But it's not flash cards and it's not a hokey game. It's actually 52 cards like a regular deck and you can play regular games.
You've got all the numbers and the suits?
Well, I'll show them to you at some point.
Sure.
But yeah, the idea was, you know, they play games with them and while they're playing, they're getting exposure, and they're saying them too.
Because they're being forced to make the sentences and the collocations.
A little bit, but not as much forcing them to do that as much as just playing. Again, not pressuring them or not telling them. It's not like a chore.
Right.
It's more like they're playing a fun game and along the way. So it's like the idea of like, you know, don't study these advertisements to learn the collocations.
Yeah.
You're just going to get exposure to those advertisements, and as a result, you have them.
Yeah.
Then let's get in situations where you can use them.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing with the card games. Same thing with the music. So the reason I did the music is because the card games were working, but not enough because they were only doing them in class. And I didn't have enough money to make an app at the time. It was the beginning of all. I had this idea of, you know, stuff they could listen to for the cards or whatever. And then, but then what else do we do what else do we repeat because we like two songs? If you like a song, you're like, I'm done with the song. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's that's pretty powerful. So, you know, because I wasn't like, you know, I was a drummer, as you mentioned, and a DJ. But I didn't think I want to, you know, combine my interest in, mm-hmm. in hip hop and rhythm with teaching so much as I hit on it as what do we want to repeat naturally? Oh, music. What kind of music do I know? Rap. So I thought, wait a second. Then it started, things started to click. I was like, wait, but, you know, rap is the rhythm and the, you know, what I call shrinking and linking, the reduced and connected speech of English. And it's, you know, melodies twist the stress into ways that are natural, but rap is more true to oral discourse. And like, oh, wow. But the main thing was that I had this student, Ji-Yun Lee, I'm actually getting back to this. And I was giving her sentences to repeat that rhymed. And I was like, you know, I can make a whole song for these verbs. Mm. So I made the song. The students liked it. I was really bad at first. I was really nervous doing it because I wasn't a rapper. I was a DJ. I really hadn't done any rhyming except just kind of screwing around. So I'm all of a sudden in front of the students, confident as a teacher, but not confident rapping.
Yeah.
But I got better at it. Students helped me, gave me advice. And then one day a student wanted to videotape me.
Yeah.
And we videotaped me doing the song. And that was the video. Yeah, that video was done, you know, on a student's, not a phone at the time, a digital camera or something. Yeah.
I see. And the rest is history.
I guess so.
Wow. That's brilliant. It's a great story. Have you ever had any reactions from students who weren't into it? Does that happen to you sometimes?
You know, it happened. When I was developing the ideas, it happened not so often, I guess, because they already knew me and because I wasn't using it so much. I was just kind of a little, you know, when I put it out there, I got great feedback, both positive and negative, and sort of started changing it.
Right.
So, you know, less and less as I've put people's ideas into it. What I do get, and it makes sense, is people are like, well, I don't really like this style of music. So I'm very interested in the idea of doing, you know, what I do with other kinds of music. And I actually already have. I've done, you know, with reggae beat, with R&B beat. The thing about hip-hop is, you know, not only recently where it's become more international and other people have influenced their musical style, but even from the beginning it was, you know, breakbeats from rock songs and stuff. Yeah. So it's really, it's about the rhythm. It's you know, I can, if you give me a rock beat, I can do the rap to it. Yeah, so the main reason I've done it more with hip-hop flavor is just because that's what I, you know, kind of grew up loving most. I'm interested in doing what I do with different types of music. That's the main criticism I get is, you know, can you do this with other music?
Can you do it with classical music, for example?
If there's enough of a rhythm in there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Let me just ask you about the fact that you've been working for the U.S. Department of State. Mm-hmm. You're an English specialist for the U.S. Department of State. That's brilliant. It sounds like you're a special agent. What does that involve?
Well, let me just say, first of all, the reason that all happened in the first place was because a teacher in Morocco saw the videos I was putting up, put them on Facebook. Other teachers were talking about them. She said, you got to go check my Facebook group. I was like, what's a Facebook group? You know, and, you know, this was 2010, something like that. And then she was like, you know, you should really come to Morocco. And I was like, well, how could we do that? And she said, well, I can write to the embassy. She wrote to the embassy. They saw the stuff I'd done and invited me to come. And I, you know, same thing happened with Oxford University Press. I'm sure, 100% sure, if I had, you know, suited up and gone to Oxford, you know, all due respect to Oxford University Press or the government and said, look, here's my method.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you sponsor me? Why don't you hook me up? Nothing would have happened. Nor should it necessarily. I mean, you know, they responded to what teachers already liked.
So they came to you.
Yeah, but they came to me because it's like it's already being tested in the field. Right. Better than being tested. And this is what new media is, what's so exciting about it. Is that if you got something good and you put it out there and you make it better and more people watch it, then, you know, others in the industry are going to take notice.
I'm just imagining what it's like when the government come knocking on your door and say, Mr. Levine, that's me. We've been watching you.
Happily, it was just an email.
All right, that's okay then. It wasn't two guys in dark glasses at the door. FBI, we've noted that you have a very particular set of skills.
Yeah. If that happens, I'm just going to tell him to go to your place. Right. The guy you're looking for lives on the other side of Paris.
I do have a particular set of skills. skills which I've developed over a long career. Skills which make me a nightmare for people like you. I've watched the film Taken too many times, as you can tell.
I can see you being one of those guys.
Yeah, really?
With the dark glasses at the door.
Yeah, you could do that.
I could do that. Yeah, that's where I see things going, Jason. Mm. Eventually, I'll be a full time deep cover black ops special agent kind of guy, who can not only teach English effectively, but can also, you know, deal with a terrorist situation as well if necessary.
I think we should get a video series going on.
Yeah, I think so. They thought he was an English teacher. They were wrong. You know, that kind of thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right, Jason, I think it's time for me to ask you to actually do some rhyming on Luke's English podcast. Are you up for that?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm really excited. And because this is perfect, because my listeners know that my brother makes music. He makes hip-hop, instrumental.
Yeah, I just discovered that today, and... Big props to Jim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really like his stuff. So.
Yeah, it's really good. So I think maybe this is the perfect opportunity for someone to put some lyrics down over some of his tracks. And I'm looking at you, Jason.
I'm ready to go, man.
Okay. Right, I think what we'll do then is we'll go through some of his tunes and just tell me which one you like. And then you can just sort of like... I don't know what the terminology should be. You'll bust a groove or you'll like, I don't know what.
You can create your new collocation.
Okay. I don't know. I'm going to stick with bust a groove. But the only reason I'm saying that is because I used to, when I was younger, I had a tape of Young MC.
Right. Well, that's bust a move.
Bust a move.
I think that's it's the groove move.
Oh, bust a groove is a computer game.
Yeah. And bust a move really meant more like I'm going to go do something. Bust a rhyme is a colo for rapping.
Bust a rhyme is a colo.
So I could bust a rhyme. I mean, that sounds really like, you know, 1983 or something. But
and then, of course, we had Busta Rhymes, the gentleman who had a very particular rapping style.
One in my top 20 from
Brilliant.
Earlier.
He's amazing. okay, so I think that what we're going to do now is set this up, and then, ladies and gents of Luke's English Podcast, you're going to hear a bit of rapping from... It's a collaboration. This is JT2000 featuring Jason Fluency MC.
Thank you.
That's the proper...
But can we call it a collaboration?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
Collaboration.
It's a collaboration.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, then. Here we go.
Ooh, I like the sound of this. It's Fluency MC in Paris. F to the R-A-N-C-E. Chilling with my man L-U to the K to the E on the podcast. Check this out. We're going to do a little bit of stick, stuck, stuck. It goes like this. Yeah. Are you ready out there? Check it out. The microphone I took, you shake, shook, shaken. Wake, woke into the style I'm creating. Think, thought, seek, sought. Listen to the lesson that I teach, taught. Don't sleep, slept. I creep, prep. I sleep, snuck up. You leap, left. I keep, kept, having fun. I'm never beaten. I win one, do, did, done. Begun. Shot. No, I don't own a gun. I leap, let, so I can feed, fed. The knowledge you need, straight to your head. When I bring, brought it, you catch, caught it. Sit back, relax, don't fight, fought it. That's stick, stuck, that's irregular verb practice. So ditch your list and get with the three R's. Relax, repeat, remember. I got a song to practice collocations, idioms with get. I'll do a little bit of that one next. It's called Get a Life. I got to know this kid when I got to junior high. He used to get into trouble, get in fights and get high. But when he got a little older, he got more mature. His mom got him in line so his vision didn't blur. She got in his case to get straight and get a job so they could get by without having to rhyme. Every night when he got off, he'd get out his notebook and get busy writing rhymes, cause he was no crook. He got a look at universities and got some applications, got approval from his teachers to get their recommendations. He got grief from his friends, he got insulted and got hurt when they got scared and insecure because they knew he would desert them. That's Get a Life. It goes through this child's life, three verses. These are long songs, but you can break them up, do them little bits and pieces. All right, I also do songs to learn geography. I want to kick a little thing now about Africa. Check this out. Ooh, DJ Luke, bringing in the new beat. I like this. All right, check this out. This is African geography, everybody. Check it out, check it out. We begin our journey on the coast of North Africa, Rabat, Morocco, and Algiers, Algeria, due east to Tunis, Tunisia. Then south down the coast to Tripoli, Libya, continuing along the Mediterranean to Cairo, Egypt, near the Red Sea, then down the Nile. We travel for a while to Khartoum, Sudan, and Juba, South Sudan, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and Mogadishu, Somalia, Djibouti, Djibouti, now all of you up north to Asmara, Eritrea. Listen and read to build spark. I guarantee you that by having fun, by the time that we're done, you know the African countries and capitals, every one. That one's called Africa 54. And I got one more thing to show you. It's a relatively new tune. I don't have a video out for it yet. It's called Fresh, Fresher, Freshest. To learn adjective form, check it out. Whether you're young, younger, youngest, or old, older, oldest, if you're shy, shyer, shyest, or bold, bolder, boldest, follow Fluent CMC, stick with me and you see, we keep it hot, hotter, hottest, never cold, colder, coldest, make it loud, louder, loudest, I'm proud, prouder, proudest of my family around the world, I could never be without this, across the globe we're spreading wide, wider, widest, don't you know we learn through having fun, you ought to try this, soon, sooner, soonest, you'll learn quick, quicker, quickest, if your books and lessons make you sick, sicker, sickest, sing along to the song, to be strong, stronger, strongest, relax and repeat, it won't take long, longer, longest. That's Fresh, Fresher, Freshest. Cooling with DJ Luke. Paris, France, y'all. Fluent CMC. Much peace and respect.
Wow, that was absolutely amazing. I'm so glad to have had you rapping on the podcast.
That was the first time I'd really had that opportunity to really just, you know, go for it.
Yeah, it sounds it sounds amazing. It's brilliant. One thing is, I guess like using the rapping in your lessons, you expect ultimately the students to kind of repeat your rhymes a bit like they would do if it was a song. You know, you kind of learn the lyrics and you listen to it again and again, and then ultimately you kind of sing the song, or sort of producing the language. Is that what you expect learners to do with your rapping, to repeat?
I'm really glad you asked me that, because, you know, a lot of times, if you have a song to learn a language, you might think, I have to, you know, do this song right now, you know, or the teacher says, you know, do the song. And of course, that's not how we learn songs. The first time you hear a song, you don't do it. Not the second time, the third time. You know, you're listening, you're enjoying it. And if you like it, you're repeating it. Mm. And then by repeating it, you get more familiar with it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, some people will want to do it. Some people like to perform. Some people will just listen and the words are in their head.
Yeah.
Any of those things, depending on your style, I think, a learner can help.
Don't you think you need to have like a bit of talent to be able to rap like you do? Because, I mean, you know, you've been doing it for a while, and, you know, I guess some people would think, oh, I can't do that.
Well, I think I definitely understand that, because when I started doing it, I was terrible. So, yeah, it takes a lot of practice. And I don't think the goal is to try to, you know, be like me or another rapper or singer or actor when we're learning language from those people. However, to try to approximate that, or to, you know, mimic certain parts of it, I think can really help.
Yeah.
And for teachers that use my materials too, sometimes they say, I can't do this. And I say, why? Well, because I don't rap. And I say, but wait a minute. You know, I'm the one doing that part. You know, you're helping the students to use the materials, and there's no pressure on either teacher or student to try to perform so much.
Actually, I've seen that some of your videos have been made to help people rap along. Mm-hmm. And you've got like the script there of all the lyrics on the screen, but you add in some of the words, and then like a lot of the words are missing, and the idea is that the students rap with you.
Exactly. And then, you know, most students and teachers of language are familiar with gap fill, where it's, words are taken out, and to do it, you know, with video, and, you know, for me to leave the words out and students to do it, that's a way to, you know, takes some of the pressure off to try to do all the words. And so in the activities that I have in the book, I have, and when I give suggestions to learners and teachers, it's usually things like that, like, you know, repeating certain chunks.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, wrap it, not to try to wrap the whole thing. However, it's funny, you know, some students will say, I could never do this. And then you say, okay, then don't do it. And then they listen to it and then they do it.
Yeah. So you just go get them into the right comfortable place where they feel comfortable to then start trying it out, I guess. What are the three R's that you mentioned?
The three R's, relax, repeat, remember. Uh-huh. So the best way to understand that idea is, you know, when your mother sings you a lullaby when you're young, or you read the same book again and again, you know, you're repeating without trying to study it. So that's the idea of you're relaxed and engaged. And as a result, you remember the language.
I see. Okay. Now, Jason, you know, when I knew that you'd be on the podcast, I thought I would try my hand at doing some rhyming as well.
Excellent.
Do you want to hear the results of it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. I'm going to play everyone my attempt at a rap. And just bear in mind that this is the first time that I'd ever done it.
Do you have a name?
Yeah, I'm calling myself the Well-Spoken MC.
The Well-Spoken MC. Nice.
Okay, this is my attempt at rapping, Jason. I'd like to hear what you think and what everyone else thinks as well. Here it is. Here's my rhyme. It's called the Well-Spoken MC. Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Let me introduce myself to you. My name is Luke. I'm an ordinary dude. I like food, I wear shoes, I like to watch YouTube. I'm just like you. Or maybe Doctor Who, when I'm in a good suit and I'm feeling in the mood. Because from time to time, I like to unwind. I drink a bit of wine and then I try to write a rhyme. And when I combine all of this online, then surely it's a sign that it's my time to shine. Because I like to feel fine and I do it all the time. And in my mind, I'm gonna get mine. It's just a natural fact and I like it like that. So relax and sit back and listen to this track. It's just a natural fact and I like it like that. So relax and sit back and listen. I get dizzy with a bit of Thin Lizzy while drinking some fizzy, getting busy with Queen Lizzie. I'm a gentleman with a lesson plan. I'll help you understand it with a diagram of different tenses and complex senses, or ways of saying sentences with different kinds of emphases. Yes, you could say that I'm blessed with a Celta and a Delta, and my CV's fresh. I teach pronunciation throughout the nation to stop alienation caused by poor articulation. It's just a natural fact, and I like it like that. So relax and sit back and listen to this track, because I speak like a native. I'm here to get creative. And have I already stated that I'm very qualificated? I've got a wide CV, an even wider TV, which I'd like you to see in confidentiality. Because between you and me and the deep blue sea, one day I'm gonna be on the BBC. Because I've got that BBC style, the one that makes you think for a little while about the way that most newsreaders speak. It sounds as if they're trying to repeat sentences of information with crazy intonation and weird enunciation that's clearly fascinating. And at the end of every single news report, there is a summary of sorts of all the main sports and some afterthoughts, where the main news anchor, he turns to the camera and delivers an answer in the form of a mantra. This is the voice of the BBC. And while you're sitting there drinking cups of tea, we're working away inside your TV. And on the screen, you will surely see that I go by the name of the Well-Spoken MC. C, C, C. Okay, so there you go. That was my rhyme called the Well-Spoken MC. What do you think of that?
Honestly, man, I'm impressed. When it started, it seemed more like you were kind of, you know, being a little silly, and that's in there. But then there's some nice rhymes in there, man. That's really your first attempt?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, my first attempt. I've done little tiny bits of rhyming.
He's actually a world famous rapper. We're going to discover now.
I've done like one or two little tiny raps on the podcast before, like one about how I was sick. I'm sick, I'm under the weather, but in a few days I'm going to feel better, you know, all that sort of stuff. But so nothing, not like a whole track like that.
Yeah, it's great, man. You know, as I tell my learners, You have it in you, man.
Yeah, we've all got it in us. Yeah, I genuinely believe that. Like, I'd never considered trying to do any rapping before in my life. And then, like,
music, since, rhyme, it's all there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just having you on the show sort of inspired me to try my hand at doing it. And yeah, I'm just, you know, I like to try and put a bit of comedy into
it. It's great. So. Yeah, no, it has the comedy, but it also has some nice gems.
Thanks,
in
man.
There, some good rhyming.
Thanks a lot. I'm really glad you liked it. So what's next then for Fluency MC? What are you doing next?
Let's see. I'm going to Spain next week. And then I'll be in Italy for a couple weeks in February. And this is with Gallery Languages I'm yeah. working with. And those are all middle schools and high schools where I'm going to do live events, workshops, yeah. the Rhyme on Time tour. So that's brilliant. That's going on. I'm also, as always, on WizIQ, which is where I do online webinars and free courses. Everything's free, mainly for teacher development. Professional right. development. So yeah. Doing a series called Featured Teachers that I'm going to invite you to
yeah,
be
really?
On. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Okay, I look forward to that.
Yeah, and we've got some really great people coming up, and WizIQ is doing wonderful things to make this webinar yeah. series yeah. happen.
Fantastic. Well, I have a few teachers who listen to Luke's English podcast. What's the best way for them to, you know, get involved in WizIQ?
Yeah, and learners too, because we, yeah. you know, it's for both. Best way is probably just to email me. I mean, they can go on WizIQ.com and look around, but yeah. my email address there is jace@WizIQ.com. So my nickname, Jace, J-A-S-E.
Yeah.
And then I'm happy to get back in touch with them about that.
Okay.
But they can also, people can find me on Facebook, YouTube, if you Google Fluency MC,
yeah.
And any way, you know, through my website or Facebook message, you can ask me about WizIQ,
yeah.
about Gallery Languages, Fluency MC, anything.
Okay. Spain, Italy, with Gallery Languages doing workshop, live workshops. So, will they be broadcast as well on the internet?
No, we're thinking about how we might do that in the future. But for now, no, we'll take, you know, pictures and videos and have them up, kind of teasers yeah. for people. Yeah. But right now, we're trying to get as many live events going
okay.
as we can. And sometimes I've had up to 400 students at once.
Whoa.
For these. So it's wow. pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And with WizIQ, people can go on and they can learn English for free?
Well, they can go on and find tutors and teachers, yeah, live yeah. classes, self-paced, like asynchronous videos to learn yeah, English, yeah, yeah. Free or paid, depending on the
yeah,
teacher.
Yeah.
And again, what I'm doing there is all free and open courses and webinars for teacher training, but anyone's welcome to come.
Yeah.
It's really educators and learners worldwide.
Okay. WizIQ, I suppose, is WIZZIQ.
WIZ or Z for me.
Yes.
IQ.com. Yeah, no, not two Zs, one Z.
Oh, it's just one.
Yeah, just one. WIZ or Z.
Yeah.
IQ.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Or just find me and I'll hook you up.
Right. Okay, good. Jason R. Levine on Facebook or Fluency MC. If you just Google search Fluency MC, then you'll definitely find it. There's loads of stuff there. That's great. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. I'm a fan of your podcast, and now that I've been working with you, I've been listening to more and following your yeah. Facebook page, and it's exciting. You've got a great fan base out there
yeah,
following
I've,
you.
I've got some really cool fans, and I'm sure that they're going to enjoy this episode.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, brilliant. Well, great. I look forward to sort of working with you again in some way. This WizIQ thing sounds interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. No, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Great. Thanks very much, Jason. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening to Luke's English Podcast in this what has been quite a historical episode, I'd say. And I'll speak to you all soon in some way. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. And I'm going to do that right now. Here we go. Goodbye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.